This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
We need a reckoning for COVID. Steve Dace is here to talk about that. What does that look like? Margo Cleveland is here to talk about that warrant to search Trump's home. What's in there? What do you make of all of it? You're going to want to buckle up for this one on I'm Right. The administrative state. What have we talked about it? What do I say about it all the time? You, me, we have this talk all the time. It's the most dangerous thing happening in the country by a mile. Because unelected bureaucrats have tons of power, and they have the power to destroy your life. But when I say that to you, like right now, who are you thinking about? Immediately, I know who you're thinking about, the FBI. They're the common thing now, especially with this recent raid. They're the thing everyone's focusing on, FBI, FBI, FBI. But understand, what's happening is so much bigger than the FBI. What's happening is we now have a federal government that is full of Democrats. And I don't just mean elected ones. I mean the unelected people in the federal government. You know that they're well north of 90% Democrat? Okay, that's bad, right? But where's all this go? What's the point of all this? They think you are not the political opposition. The whole big federal government, largest employer in the country, these are a bunch of people who don't think you're the opposition. They believe you're an enemy of the state because they look around and they say, we are the state. We run the state. When I say the administrative state is bigger than the FBI, please understand virtually everything that's happening right now can be explained by the government turning you or trying to turn you into the enemy of the state so they can use the power of the state against you. And honestly, one of the biggest ways they've done this isn't the FBI, it was the COVID stuff. And I'm not going to let this go. I'm never going to let this go. For 2 years, I watched the land of the free become, in some pockets, a police state full of vicious, frightened little sheep, of bureaucrats who lied, politicians who lied, doctors who lied, public health officials who lied, big pharma executives who lied, the media who really lied. I watched this country become the Soviet Union overnight in response to a virus that virtually everybody is going to survive. And here's the thing, and this is going to be difficult to hear. It's not that pleasant to say because I know how difficult it will be to hear. People lost their lives because of our COVID lockdowns. They didn't have their lives saved. People lost their lives. Various reasons. Mental health, suicide, substance abuse, poor physical health. For many different reasons, people lost their lives. They lost their livelihoods. People lost friends. People lost family members. I still save them here in the studio. You should see how many gut-wrenching emails I have. Jesse, my mom won't talk to me anymore because I'm unvaccinated. Jesse, my daughter won't let me come visit her or my granddaughters because I'm unvaccinated. It tore the country to shreds. It destroyed how many small businesses in this country who will never come back? But let's understand something. Let's understand who wasn't hurt during all this COVID stuff. Who didn't really feel it? The uber rich. The uber rich didn't miss a meal. They dined at all the restaurants they were dining at before. Sometimes they had to have it delivered. That's fine. They were all vacationing in all the places they told you they weren't allowed to go. They had all the same parties they were having before. Remember Barack Obama's party, hundreds of people at his Martha's Vineyard mansion. They didn't miss out on a thing. Who did they really punish? You. You think that was an accident? You think it was an accident that all the COVID measures in this country seemed to punish the political enemies of the Democratic Party the most? Who do they hate the most? They hate the middle class. They hate small business owners. And it was all for absolutely nothing. You may not have heard because they did it very, very quietly. The CDC, Center for Disease Control, put out some new guidelines. I think you'll find them interesting. And as I read through some of these new guidelines, I want you to remember the businesses lost, the lives lost, physical health ruined, mental health ruined, substance abuse. I want you to remember all the endless abuses that were done in the name of COVID and unvaccinated people being the ones who spread COVID. And, well, there it is. If you're exposed to COVID, you don't even have to quarantine any longer. Students no longer have to quarantine either. Okay. If you're asymptomatic, you don't have to get screened. Remember when we started testing people who weren't even sick endlessly? They're still doing that, the federal government, by the way. They deleted the part on the website that said the mRNA spike protein do not last long in the body. Do you remember Dr. Naomi Wolf coming on the show and saying that spike protein goes throughout every bit of your body, lodges in your liver, and stays there forever? Ah, the federal government found that out too and quietly went in and beep, 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 couple deletes, gone now like it never happened. So we coerced how many tens of millions of Americans into taking something that in the end may have harmed them. We know it definitely didn't keep them from getting COVID. It didn't keep them from spreading COVID. Your lockdown did nothing. And I want you to remember all that. I want you to remember all that pain and misery as you watch Rochelle Walensky, head of the CDC here. Why?
This is becoming a pandemic of the unvaccinated. Our data from the CDC today suggests, that vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick. So it's really quite safe for you, the vaccinated person. It's not safe for the unvaccinated person, especially if that person is taking off their mask.
If you are unvaccinated, we would recommend not traveling.
What I can tell you is that you are 10 times more likely to have a case of COVID if you are unvaccinated compared to if you are vaccinated and boosted. You are 20 times more likely to die of COVID if you are unvaccinated compared to if you're vaccinated and boosted.
The science is also very clear about unvaccinated people. You remain at risk of mild or severe illness, of death, or of spreading the disease to others.
That's the head of the Center for Disease Control. Somebody Americans look to as a voice they can trust when we have a brand new virus in our society. And that's the head of the Center for Disease Control taking her position and telling outright black and white lies to the American people. Not only is that lady not in federal prison, as of now, there's not even a threat she'll be indicted, probably won't even get a congressional hearing, and she's making $261,000 a year of your money. And it matters, right? Let's understand something. Part of the whole COVID fallout, the lockdown fallout, was this. It was a very revealing, sadly revealing moment for me. Like, you ever let yourself get out of shape? You don't know how bad it is, and you walk up a little flight of stairs, and you're all And you're out of breath and you say to yourself, oh gosh, that was a revealing moment. It was a revealing moment for me, for the country. I did not realize how mentally weak and pathetic we had become as a nation, how soft. I want you to listen to this turbo freak. Her name's Taylor Lorenz. She's an absolute communist activist, a detestable human being. She found out about the new CDC guidance, and I want you to listen to this, and I want you to understand these people were your neighbors now. Quote, literally, what is it with white women in literally? Pause for a second. I'm sorry. I have to do a little disclaimer here. Kids, white women, all of you, stop using that word. It's unending in this country. Literally, this is literally, it's literally, literally, just talk, okay? All right, back to this. Literally, what is the plan for high-risk / medically vulnerable and disabled people? Just let us die while the world marches on like WTF. This unhinged lunatic feels that if you're not wearing a mask, you're going to kill her. What's the penalty for that? What should the penalty be for government officials using their position to spread lies and mentally ill lunatics buying into the lies? And remember this, don't forget. They lied about all of it. It's not as if you can excuse them by saying, well, Jesse, this is new information. They didn't know. Oh, yes, they did know. They did know. Remember Dr. Birx when she sat down and warned you, hey, tiny gatherings for Thanksgiving. Do you want to kill your mom? We can't all travel. We will murder our family members. And then promptly got done with this and went and spent Thanksgiving with all of her extended family.
I'm making the personal sacrifices not to infect my parents and my pregnant daughter. I worry about that because then it gives people the option to say, well, if bars and restaurants are open, then I can have 20 people over for Thanksgiving. And so I don't like it to be any number. I like it to be keep it to your immediate household.
She knew that was a lie. Public health official felt totally comfortable sitting on TV lying to your face about it and taking off. Why? She knew she wasn't going to go to prison. She has to go to prison. She has to be arrested. We have to have a public trial so everyone can see what was done. And she has to go to federal prison, not because of revenge, so the next public health official would never dream of doing such a thing. And one more thing, and this is probably going to hurt. Probably is. Your mask, it's really stupid. It was always stupid. Always. From day one, it was always stupid. You should feel stupid. And look, if you had to put one on to go to work or a plane or something like that, that's fine. But if you ever voluntarily put one on, it's really, really, really important that you feel stupid. I want you to feel really dumb. And it's not because I'm mean. The only way stupid people become smart is they become aware of their unending stupidity. And that, maybe that's you. Don't be stupid anymore. And if you put one of those on your child on purpose, you're not only stupid, you're an abuser. Now, I know you meant well, but you're a stupid abuser. So get smarter, stop abusing your child. It was always dumb. Oh, don't say, oh, Jesse, that's just you. USC says it, UCLA says it. Study after study after study says your mask is stupid. It never did a thing, nothing, ever. Let it go and feel stupid. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have a packed show. We got Steve Dace, Margot Cleveland. Buckle up for Margot Cleveland. She's going to break down this warrant. There's all kinds of juicy stuff in there. All that's still to come tonight on I'm Right. Before we get to that, though, do you have your Eden Pure thunderstorms yet? Be honest. I know you've heard me talk about them 1,000 times. I know air purifiers. I've had them my entire life. I've told you before, we moved to Montana when I was 10. I don't know what it is up there. My allergies just killed me. So I always had clear eyes. I was putting in my eyes. Always had an air purifier. I've never had anything like this in my life. They're just small and quiet. I don't even own allergy medication anymore. They have a 3-pack for sale for my viewers. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse gets you 3 of them for under $200. That's $200 off. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
For unvaccinated, we are looking at a winter of severe illness and death for unvaccinated. For themselves, their families, and the hospital, they'll soon overwhelm. But there's good news. If you're vaccinated, you have your booster shot, you're protected from severe illness and death.
That's interesting. By the way, quick side note, sorry I didn't open the show like this. Wishing the very best to Lloyd Austin, Defense Secretary, and the CEO of Pfizer, both tested positive for COVID. It's weird because they all have all their shots. Joining me now, good host on Blaze TV. You're missing out if you're not watching, Steve Dace, and also author of the upcoming book you really need to read, The Fourth Reich. Steve, man, it's so wild because I haven't been vaccinated and I've never experienced any of these endless COVID bouts. But man, Lloyd Austin, if I remember right, that's two in about 6 months.
What I find fascinating, Jesse, is they told us that quote-unquote rebound COVID from their miracle drug Paxlovid only happens in less than 1% of cases. Well, what are the odds that the two individuals probably getting the most attentive and state-of-the-art healthcare, the President of the United States and Anthony Fauci, are each among that less than 1%? It's a miracle shrouded in a puzzle, wrapped in an enigma, Winston. This defies all the data, and more of the data is coming out. That's why you saw CDC is doing the whole Homer Simpson gift, backing into the bushes now, declaring COVID all but over on Friday. Now they're scrubbing the lie they had on their website for many moons about how the spike protein doesn't stay in your bloodstream for very long. More and more data, like Thailand, study of teenage boys found 18% of them after a full dose of Pfizer, Jesse, showed irregular EKGs. These are 13 to 18 year old teenage boys, 18% of them. There's a German insurer has data out today showing one out of about 27 people got a serious enough adverse effect that they filed an insurance claim in a country of 66 million people. If we had those numbers documented here in the U.S., that would be almost 9.6 million people. That means 4.3% of people in Germany that got the COVID jab had a serious enough side effect that it caused them to file an insurance claim. And we're talking about a virus with a 0.3 infection fatality rate. There's over 79,000 serious adverse events the government of Australia is admitting to now. Denmark just announced it's no longer going to even offer the COVID jabs to minors. Pretty much about the only country left that is still lying through its teeth to its people about these jabs is the one you and I are living in.
Which brings me to actually what your book, The Fourth Reich, is about. And I've read the opening, very, very good.
Thank you.
Steve, I'm a vengeful person. I'm a spiteful person. I admit this. I fully admit this. But what I'm about to say is not out of revenge or spite. I don't want public health officials, politicians, any pharma CEOs, I don't want them to ever do this again. I'm not naive enough to think that they're just going to look at themselves in the mirror and say, dang, I screwed up and not do it again. I want the future head of the CDC to be afraid to do this again. How do we make that happen, Steve?
That ain't vengeance, brother. That is justice. And that's, if you look at the subtitle to our book, Rise of the Fourth Reich, that's what it is. Confronting COVID fascism with a new Nuremberg trial so this never happens again. Here's what we need. A trial, like a real one. Not like the fake ones that they're hiding from us before they injected their poison into us. I am a person of justice as well, and I'm fine offering them the same kind of, or a different and a better trial than what they offered us. Unlike the ones that they offered us, no control groups, no transparency. We hide the data from you for 75 years unless you take us to court and find a federal judge who finally says you have to reveal it. And then the truth comes out in all of its bloody and adverse side effects pandemic realities. No, a real trial. This is one, unlike their human trials, real. We'll give them a control group. They get to be their own. They get to lob their own defense. It will be transparent, all of it televised. Everyone can see why they did what they did and what they did, and they can offer up their defense. And then if they're found guilty, see, we didn't get those rights, Jesse. We weren't told that. We were told you don't get to see our data except what we put in press releases in the New York Times and then rip and read it for you. You don't get to see the hard numbers. You don't get to see the raw data. Instead, though, you, though, are guilty of not having a job, not being a member of society unless you inject our poison. Before we inject them with the deadly gas, with capital punishment, or frankly, swing from trees, I'm fine with that too. Before we pronounce those verdicts, we will grant them what they didn't give us before they injected us with their poison. A real trial, real transparency, real evidence, real data, and we'll let everybody see. And then if the verdict is guilty, we will do them like we did the fiends at Nuremberg. That's what we need.
Steve, I love it. I'm trying not to stand up at my desk here and cheer because we're on TV, but who runs it? Because I want it. Who runs it? It needs to happen. Who can pull this off?
To me, I think that this is a question of will. We are not a nation of laws, and we never have been. We are a nation of political will, and we always will be. And that's the issue here. And you pointed this out recently when you tweeted, "Do not quote laws to a man with a gun." Okay, this is about political will. You know, we have to recognize the other side of this argument has removed all restraint. They're not self-restraining at all anymore. For us to continue to self-restrain outside of what our Creator commands of us, to self-restrain short of that is really just a tantamount to surrender. So here's what we need. We need a similar kind of a Nuremberg tribunal. And I have the perfect person to oversee it. Dr. Peter McCullough, from your native state of Texas, is arguably the most decorated cardiologist in the history of this country. And he has authored numerous medical journals. His biography is cited on at least a dozen major universities in this country. And everything that he has warned about, everything that he has said, has all been proven true. Put him in charge of it. He knows the academic credentials. He knows the data. He's also shown that he is a fearless pursuer of truth. You put somebody like that in charge of it, and you let him ask the questions. You let him cross-examine, and you let everybody testify under the threat of a penalty of perjury and capital punishment, and we'll get the real truth, not the crap Anthony Fauci was spewing over the weekend in a masked audience where he was talking about the Fauci effect and looked literally like Lucifer. I mean, that's like, look what the stuff Lucifer says in the Bible, like, I will ascend, I'll become God. That level of ego incarnate. No, what we need is a cold-blooded pursuit of the truth with the full force of law behind it.
Steve, speaking of the force of law, I can't let you go without bringing up this Trump raid crap. And I obviously know your thoughts on it already. I've been following them very closely. But Steve, was this finally the end? I mean, finally where they crossed the line to where they now have so little trust left with the American people, we are dealing with an illegitimate institution and it's going to be a major problem?
Well, first, I wish most of conservative media would do something and coalesce in opposition to tyranny when it's actually impacting their actual customers, whether they're January 6th prisoners, the masks, the jabbed, the lockdown, and not before it hits their pet politician. But at this point, I'll take anything I can get. No, it's not the end. They don't care that it has no credibility. They're going to frog march him. They're going to perp walk him. They will indict him. They will arrest him. In my view, if Trump really wants to run again, Jesse, every day right now that he does not declare is political malpractice. He should have declared the day after that raid. Because every day that he tempts them to find some federal judge, well, Steve, what will the charge be? What charges? The charge is his name. The charge is he's liked by you. That is the charge, okay? And so every day that he goes by, Jesse, that he allows them to get the jump on him by indicting him and then getting to say after he declares, well, he's an indicted criminal, provable crimes. What are the provable crimes? They don't care. He needs to declare now if he is going to run so that it clearly looks like indicting him is political. Every day that he does not, and I don't know about you, after what went on when the legal team that he amassed that allowed them to get away with stealing the election as opposed to going after clear evidence in places like Pennsylvania rather than fantastical tales and amazing stories of Dominion flowcharts, okay? Do you trust those people to stop a federal judge somewhere from just trying to disqualify him from the ballot? Because I don't. He needs to declare, if he's going to run, he should have declared the day after the raid, the day after that, today. He should be declaring right now and getting the jump on them. This is Banana Republic stuff. All they want to do is taint him and try to get him disqualified from the ballot. He needs to stop reacting for once, and him and his team, and instead needs to be proactive in response to this.
He needs to hire Steve Dace. Go buy the Fourth Reich. Pre-order the Fourth Reich today. Steve, thank you, my brother.
You got it, brother. Thank you very much.
He's right. That would have been the smart move. Day after the raid, boom, I'm running for president. That's how you take back the news cycle. All right. Margo Cleveland is going to break down this warrant stuff because there's so much in there, and I'm not a lawyer. You're probably not a lawyer. Let's figure out what's in here. Talk to Margo about that in a second. Before we talk to her about that, what are you going to leave behind when you're dead and gone? You ever think about that? I do sometimes. And look, even with doing this, right? I'm right, still going to be available online. It's still going to be available on the first when I'm old and decrepit and they finally throw me in a hole and cover it up with dirt. But what am I actually going to leave my family? Think about that a lot. When I think about Oxford Gold and them delivering gold coins to my front door, for me, it's more than protection against what is happening with the dollar and the world economy, although that's the most important part. I think about how cool it's going to be to leave half my coins to one son and the other half to another. And then hopefully, if they don't have to use them, and I hope they don't, they hand them down to their sons. I think that's a really, really cool thing. Call 833-995-GOLD. Tell them Jesse told you to call. They'll deliver gold to your front door. Pass something down. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Department of Justice, when it comes to law enforcement, is independent. This is what we believe, and this is what the president has said. This is not about politicizing anything. That is not true at all. We do not interfere. We do not get briefed. The Department of Justice, again, when it comes to law enforcement matters, it is independent, complete independence, and I'm just not going to comment on that. None of us will, because we're going to let Merrick Garland speak for himself. And
even to this point, President Biden's not been briefed about anything.
Not been briefed. We have not interfered.
Not discussed it at all.
Not discussed.
Oh, sure. Joining me now, Margo Cleveland. She's the senior legal correspondent at The Federalist. And when I have questions about all this fancy law stuff, which I don't know anything about, Margo is pretty much the go-to. Margo, you have a 17-minute piece up on The Federalist, which I would encourage people to go watch, explaining this warrant and all this stuff. But we don't have 17 minutes. We have 10. I'm going to shut up and allow you to explain it to me now. If I interrupt, it's just because I'm stupid and I didn't understand big words. Go.
Right. So, first question I have from the clip is, why was Biden not briefed on this? They supposedly had all this top secret information they were concerned about, which is kind of the setup for the piece. Last week, I started looking at this and I'm noticing everybody's talking about top secret. And obviously when they went nuclear and said there was nuclear info at Trump's, I was like, that's kind of weird. Everyone's mocking that. I actually pulled the warrant. And what did we discover? The search warrant listed three different statutes as the basis for searching Trump's house. And it looks like you have those going up on the screen there. And what I did is I went to each one of those statutes and I said, okay, what do you have to prove? What's the violation? The first one is under the Espionage Act. And I went and did a bunch of legal research on it and discovered, hey, it doesn't have to be classified information. And in fact, sometimes it's something such as a company that has come up with a aircraft that the military is using. The Air Force, the government comes in and says, no, we need possession of that because it could harm our defense if the bad guys get it. So it actually doesn't have to do specifically with spying, selling secrets. So the first one dealt with a Defense Act violation and had nothing to do with classified information. So I'm okay, let's go and look at the next one. The next statute dealt with possession of government information. Again, didn't have to be classified. So again, I'm thinking, why is the media talking about all these classified documents that are supposedly at Trump's? And relatedly, Trump's folks are coming back and saying none of it was classified. I'm thinking, well, what does this have to do with anything? So I looked at that. And then the third one was obstruction of justice. And that really kind of wrangled me because I'm thinking, what's that supposed to be in this case? How does that tie into the search? So I was kind of noodling on this, figuring out what does this have to do? And I realized this whole classified information, top secret information, it's a red herring. Then I remembered, how did Crossfire Hurricane happen? You had the FBI, the DOJ working with the media, giving them leaks. And another thing that was kind of funny from your clip is, we're gonna let, you know, the Attorney General talk. And what did he say? We're gonna let the court filings talk. But what did the New York Times and the Washington Post say? Our sources told us. So I'm looking at that and I'm seeing them talk about a grand jury and subpoenas and documents. So I started doing research and I got all the way back to January and February. And I discovered that the search actually originated way back in January when Trump left the office and realized, hey, there's something called the Presidential Records Act. And there were some really great folks on Twitter who really understood this. I actually tried to do some research on it and get a handle on it. And the Presidential Records Act talks about all official papers belong to the government. And when a president leaves office, they go to the possession of the National Archivist. There's some acronym that stands for it, but there's a head archivist in DC who their office takes control of it all. And on the other hand, there are personal documents. So maybe there was a letter from Trump to a friend of his that had nothing to do with the presidential operations, and he gets a letter back. That's Trump's to take with him. So I started reading this. Back in February, there were leaks that said Trump had taken material covered by this Presidential Records Act, which means it's supposed to go to the archivist and it's supposed to be the American's information. It's for the presidential library. Then there was another leak that said some of that was top secret and they passed it on to the Department of Justice for an investigation. It continues on with a leak that there was a grand jury that issued subpoenas to get this information. So all of this really started back in January. And as I'm doing this, I'm discovering more about the archivist, who retired, I believe it was April 30th, and he specifically said that he retired because he didn't want to wait and figure out what was going to happen with the next election. He wanted Biden to replace him, which is an awfully weird thing for a basically librarian to be concerned about. And then he also talked about when Trump was leaving, he saw Trump carrying a box to the helicopter when he was leaving after Biden was inaugurated, when he was leaving for the last time. And he literally said, I'm thinking, what the hell's in that box? What kind of bureaucrat is concerned about the president taking a box? He also went on the record saying that January 6th was the worst day of his life. So it kind of gave you a little perspective here. But add to that, that when Hillary Clinton used a private server, destroyed emails that under another statute belong to the American public, are supposed to be preserved, Grassley's office asked him, did you investigate this? And he said, we left that up to the State Department. We're gonna let them handle this. So what happened here? He gets back information that includes things marked classified. He goes running to the Department of Justice. What does the Department of Justice do? It launches a criminal investigation against the president, former president of the United States, uses a grand jury, gets subpoenas to demand documents, and eventually, months later, raids his presidential home. This has been in the works since January. The investigation was triggered over this Presidential Record Act investigation. If you read, I think it was Newsweek, they also had a source that claimed that they told the FBI that Trump had documents that were not turned away. If you read it carefully, the whole fight is about supposedly having records under this Presidential Record Act. If you go back to January and February, when the articles are first coming out, again, it's all about these documents. Nothing to do with classified documents, doesn't have to do with the top secret documents. That's not the problem. It's this idea of these presidential records. Now, I want to point something out, Jesse. Besides that, you have the Obama situation. Now, Trump was saying, hey, well, what happened to all of those documents Obama had? Yeah, Obama had the documents, but they weren't technically in his possession because his foundation worked with the archivist in order to arrange for them, including classified information, to be kept at Hoffman Estates in a Chicago suburb. So we have examples of how the government handles it when they are not on a witch hunt. They work with a former president.
Man.
If there is a concern about documents that have not been preserved, they work with whatever the agency is. They don't go to the Department of Justice. And if you look at those statutes, all of this talk about classification and top secret, it's a red herring. That is not the concern. The concern or the basis for the search is a violation of three other statutes. And the obstruction one, I have to wonder, was the grand jury a setup to get the obstruction? So they subpoena something and Trump's like, no, that's not a government record. That's a private letter to me. I'm not turning it over. Bam, obstruction of justice. Is that what they were doing? Why they were using a grand jury? There are some things that we still don't know, but what we know from Spygate is that if you read, going back, everything that we learned 6 years later, they were telling us in the real time. And that's what I spent basically 4 days doing.
Thank you so much. That is revealing. Margot Cleveland, come back soon, please.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Man, we got a dirty government, huh? You know, you see something I just saw this weekend. It's been floating around online. Study just came out. When Democrat men start increasing their testosterone by however means, you know, lifting weights, sunshine, taking chalk, things like that, they move to the right. They start turning into Republicans. If you're low testosterone, Democrat. The second you start fixing that, Republican. Go to chalk.com. It's not medicine, not big pharma, chemical, medical stuff. You're not injecting anything in your body. We're talking all natural herbal supplements. They have female vitality stack for the ladies. They have a male vitality stack for the men. Fellas, 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. That's ridiculous. Take care of your health. You'll sleep better, better energy, better focus. Been on it for like 7-8 months. It's awesome. Chalk.com, C-H-O-Q.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 30% off the entire store. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back. Happy anniversary. Not so much. Today's the one-year anniversary, in case you didn't know, of the Taliban officially taking over Afghanistan. Now, 1 year ago, maybe you remember, this very handsome human being on TV came on and had this to say. You're seeing the first instance of what I've been warning you about. We're going to get embarrassed on a national stage. We left these people there. Okay, fine. It's Afghanistan. Not going to pretend like you care about it or I care about it. I don't want innocent people to suffer, but I get that. It's Afghanistan. But more importantly, what we left, we packed up our stuff and pulled out the U.S. military. We left them Javelin missiles. We left them drones, anti-mine vehicles. We left them helos. They're flying our Blackhawks, the Taliban, the people we've been, you know, fighting against for the last 20 years. They're all carrying M4s, our M4s. They have our comms, secure comms now. They have NVGs now, courtesy of the good old US of A. How does that happen? How could a military possibly be so inept that they leave all billions and billions of dollars of equipment behind for the Taliban to use? How could that happen? You have generals worried about white rage instead of winning wars. This whole thing is not only amateurish and embarrassing, this whole thing is amateurish and embarrassing in front of the whole world. It's one thing if you walk outside and slip on the ice and fall on your rear end and you're by yourself. It's quite another if you're at a party with 500 people watching. We just embarrassed ourselves with the entire world watching. They think we're weak. They think we're amateurish. Our allies aren't quite sure if we're going to be there for them. And how could they be sure of that? We've got our allies in Afghanistan dropping like flies. This is a disaster. 1 year ago today. And remember, Joe Biden told you that wasn't going to happen. One of the many, many lies he told. And how naive was this? Remember, I knew for years that Afghanistan was going to fall like that the second we left. Because if you talk to anyone who spent time in country, they told you. The Afghan army, the Afghan police force, they're going to fall immediately, if not outright join the Taliban the second we leave. Joe Biden, though, he had no idea.
Is a Taliban takeover of Afghanistan now inevitable?
No. It is not.
Your own intelligence community has assessed that the Afghan government will likely collapse.
That is not true.
Do you see any parallels between this withdrawal and what happened in Vietnam with some people feeling...
None whatsoever. Zero. What you had is you had entire brigades breaking through the gates of our embassy. Six, if I'm not mistaken. The Taliban is not the North Vietnamese army. They're not remotely comparable in terms of capability. There's going to be no circumstance where you see people being lifted off the roof of a embassy in the, of the United States from Afghanistan. It is not at all comfortable.
One thing I want to bring up before we go to lighten the mood and get out of all this heavy stuff, I do want to bring this up. It is the 1 year anniversary of all this, right? What's the date today? August 15th. 1 year ago today. Okay, that's interesting. Just stay with me here. Because this part, you're not going to hear it or see it anywhere else, but it's 100% true. And it's the one people have ignored or chosen to forget. Why was that withdrawal done the way it was? Remember, we now know for a fact we left behind 800 American civilians. We left behind all of our equipment, totally functional, good equipment. If we just, one night, decided we were leaving and we packed up and jetted out of the country? Even if you hate Joe Biden and the Democrats, and even if they screwed everything up and all that stuff's true, that doesn't make sense, does it? You would give your generals some time. Hey, could we pack up the Javelins? But we just left. Why? What was the rush? That's the question you need to ask yourself. What was the rush? All that death, all that destruction, our 13 warriors who were killed in the wake of that, then the drone strike that killed 10 innocent Afghan civilians after that. Why? Why did that happen? What was the rush? It's August 15th. What's less than a month away? A day always remembered and always will be remembered in the American calendar. September 11th. Why did all that happen? It all happened because the Biden administration wanted a political football to spike. They could brag about being the ones who got us out of Afghanistan on the anniversary of September 11th. So they woke up one day, ignored all common sense and all advice, and they said, hey, pack it up and leave. Be out tomorrow. That's why we are led by evil people. All right. We need light in the mood after that, right? We do. Are you stuck in a timeshare? Are you stuck in a timeshare you want out of? If you are, you are not alone. That appears to be the MO of this business. They stick you in timeshares. You get in the timeshare, right? You get in, you go for the little presentation. Looks good. Oh, I love Aruba. And then after a few years, don't go anymore. Maybe the kids grow up. Maybe you're tired of it, whatever the case may be. And they're like, hey, guys, I'm out. I don't want to be in it anymore. And they say, oh, no, you're not out. Read the fine print. You will pay us our annual fees every year. You'll pay the special assessments every year. Call Lone Star Transfer. They'll get you out. 99% success rate. They guarantee they'll get you out. They do it in writing. They even give you a time frame. Hey, we'll get you out and get you out by then. Call them today. 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. We'll be back. All right, it's time to lighten the mood. And it's not really going to be a light in the mood that probably puts a smile on your face. It's going to be a little PSA also that may keep you or someone you love healthier, may even keep you alive. It might be a life-saving light in the mood. Before we get to that, speaking of life-saving, you need insurance, right? Health insurance? No, I'm not an insurance salesman, but I am here to tell you the insurance industry, especially the health insurance industry, is turned into a disgusting communist disaster, especially in recent years. Like so many other businesses, it has. It's very hard to find an insurance company that isn't wretched. OneShare Health, they share your values. This is a faith-based insurance company. You're not going to sacrifice coverage. You get outstanding coverage, great plans, tons of plans to choose from, and great plans, great prices on there. And your insurance company shares your values. Feeling good about paying your insurance premium? That would be a first, no? Go to my.oneshareHealth.com/Kelly, promo code Jesse Kelly, all right? All right. You may remember last year we did a lighten the mood about, well, here it was. This is somebody swimming in floodwaters. All right, one, that's funny with the music behind it. Two, let's talk for just a moment. I've been through floods. I don't know why. I'm just a magnet for natural disasters. I've been through more hurricanes and typhoons and floods and things. More stuff than you can imagine. Don't swim in floodwaters. I know. Believe me, I've been a young man myself, too. I know how tempting it is to look out your home and see the 3 feet of water in the street. And you're thinking to yourself, I can get in there. When areas flood, the sewer floods too. The sewer that's under your ground, the sewer floods too. You're not swimming in rainwater. You're swimming in poop water. Don't swim in floodwaters. And go get a hepatitis check if you have. That was me last year. I try to give back. Try to give helpful advice, but oftentimes my advice is ignored. You've heard recently, I'm sure, Las Vegas of all places has been just getting pounded by rain, these horrible desert monsoons, and obviously that's turned out bad. They got people turning up dead over there. One gentleman thought that it would be fun to once again go swimming. Watch out, left, left, left. Just one more time, really, really, really quickly. You ever walk down the sidewalk and got something in your mouth and you spit on the sidewalk? Or maybe you just flat out spit on the sidewalk? You ever do this or see somebody blow a big old snot rocket on the sidewalk? You ever see anyone in a big city drop his drawers and take a pee on the sidewalk? That's what you're swimming in. Please stop swimming in these waters. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.